We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for Deborah and for all of the words and things that she has planned for this talk today. We thank you that you long to speak to us where we are, whatever type of day or week we've had. We pray that you'll help our hearts to be receptive and for us to be encouraged by what you have to say through her today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Hello. Hello, Highgrove. So lovely to see you all. Anybody who I haven't met before, I'm Deborah. I think I've met you all before. I think you all know me. As Naomi says, I'm carrying on our four-week series called Our Culture, looking at some of the values that shape our church culture. So as many of you know, and as Naomi sort of mentioned, Highgrove is part of the Woodlands Church family. It's a family of churches now with 8 sites around the city, different locations around the city. You can see sort of them represented on that map there. And our vision is our vision is to transform this city through the love and power of God. And we do that through our church, the church. We want to see Holy Spirit filled believers living on every street in Bristol, and Spirit-filled, visible communities of faith in every neighbourhood across the city. So each congregation in the Woodlands Church family is different. We're all distinct in our style. We're all going to look a little bit different. If you walked in the door at East Bristol congregation, or at Southside, or Woodlands Central, or Community Church, or Branch, or Hillside, they're all going to look just a little bit different. They're going to represent the communities that they are in. But we all share the same vision and mission of transforming the city. And there's also a culture, a certain DNA, which you will find in each of our congregations. Now, over the last few months, we've been working hard to better sort of identify what that culture is, identify some of the distinctives that help to explain what we're like. So, these aren't new things to you. They're just an explanation of what you've hopefully all experienced and felt as you've been part of Highgrove and the Woodlands Church family. They aren't the only things that define us as church either. There's many values that all churches will hold of scripture, holding scripture, of worship, of prayer. But we try to recognise and speak out 4 values that are distinctive to our culture. When someone asks, what's your church like? Hopefully, these 4 are somewhere on the list. So we've limited ourselves to 4, because to be honest, any more than 4, we're going to forget. I'm going to forget anyway. So we want to be welcoming. So Charlie looked at that last week. We want to be welcoming of everyone. We want to be authentic in our faith. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says equipped and transformed by the Spirit of God to change the world. And we want to be expectant of all that God will do in us and through us. So hopefully these 4 values reflect something of what we're like as a church. And they're distinctives that we want to be more like too. We're not saying that we're there yet, that we've got it all sorted. But these are the values that we want to be pushing into. We want to be reaching for more. So over the following 2 Sundays, we'll be looking at the values of expectant and empowered. And in addition, over each of the 5 Mondays, the 5 Mondays in June, and each of those Monday evenings, we are going to be running what's called the Empowered course. and to help us learn more about spiritual gifts and to push into this value of being empowered by the Holy Spirit even more than what we can do on a Sunday morning. You know, you might feel a little bit cautious or just a bit unaware of spiritual gifts, then this course is for you to come and ask some questions and to find out more. You know, you might have experienced spiritual gifts in the past, or, you know, you might be familiar, but actually life has taken over and busyness and just surviving, and you've not really been pushing into it. But so this course is for you just to sort of, you know, equip you and encourage you and push you on. Or you might be someone who is eagerly desiring spiritual gifts, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and you just want to know more and you want time, you want to set aside time to practice. And so this course is for you too. It starts on Monday, the 2nd of June, 5 weeks, 8 o'clock. It's for the whole Woodlands Church family, but the good news is it's going to be here in the Highgrove building, which makes it super easy and comfortable for us. So I'd love it if you would come along. Now, last week, Charlie kicked us off thinking about our value of being welcoming. How, as a church, it's everyone, it's all of our jobs to welcome. But recognizing it takes effort to be welcoming, it means that we have to give up time in easy conversation with people who we know to have sort of slightly more hard conversations with people who we don't yet know, and it's not quite as comfortable. But we were all new to church once, and we were welcomed in. Jesus welcomed us into his family, and we want to be the same as him. So we want to be a church that's welcome. We want to be individuals who are welcoming. And Charlie spoke about how food can play an important part in of welcome. And again, it takes real effort to invite people round to your house for dinner or a picnic or something like that. It takes effort. But as Charlie mentioned last week, it doesn't have to be a three-course meal. It can be beans on toast. Hopefully you remember that from last week. She was speaking about offering an authentic welcome into our homes, into our families, into our lives, inviting people to take you as you are, which leads us on to this week's value of being authentic. Real, honest, both and faith, growing together. That's what we're going to unpack this morning. You know, being authentic is about being real, about being honest, acknowledging that we're all on a journey of faith and none of us are there yet, and none of us have got it all together. You know, I think we're all looking for authentic people, people who will treat us the same behind our backs as to our faces. Maybe just bring to mind now, if you can, like somebody who you recognize as a really authentic person. Think about somebody who you think is real authentic, and then think about, consider what makes them authentic. What makes them, what is it about the way that they act, the way that they are, that makes them really authentic? You know, in this time, there seems to be a lack of authenticity in the world. You know, we've got politicians who will just say what they want, they think other people want to hear. We've got social media that gives us an opportunity to sort of give this rose-tinted, filtered view of our lives, of our homes, of our holidays, of our meals even. But Jesus spoke about being authentic in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 now. So if you've got your Bibles with you, open them up either on your phones or paper Bibles, but the verses are also going to be on the screen if not. And Jesus was speaking to his followers, and he was giving them some instructions on being authentic by contrasting how others act, particularly the religious lead us. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 1. It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So how can we be authentic? What does it look to be like to be authentic? I think we know it when we see it. Sometimes it's easier to recognise when it's inauthentic. But authenticity, it's hard to say, can be hard to define. And it can be hard to know how we can be more authentic. So there's three points that I think we can see, particularly in what Jesus said in this passage in Matthew, that we're going to look at this morning. And the first one is be honest. Being honest. Honest to and with God. Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. In other words, don't pretend to be something you're not. Jesus is calling us all to be honest. Honest with ourselves. Honest with him. And honest with one another. Have a think for a moment. What stops us doing that? What stops us being honest? What stops us being honest with ourselves? What stops us being honest with God? What stops us being honest with other people? I think, to be honest, it's hard to be really honest with ourselves. We're good at kidding ourselves. You know, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that person. Or to blame other people. When, you know, in a situation when we've actually done something wrong as well, when there's a disagreement or there's an issue. The thing is, reality, being honest about reality can really hurt. It hurts quite a lot. It's painful to accept our mistakes, to acknowledge that we've been critical or we've been selfish or we've been untrustworthy or we've been easily angered. But being authentic means we come as we are to God. We're honest with him when we're not doing well. You know, he knows it anyway. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way." Jesus lived among us with the same struggles as ours. He understands, which means that we can be real, we can be authentic when we come to God. We can say, "I'm struggling to believe you're going to answer this prayer." We can say, I'm struggling. I don't want to read my Bible today. I can't be bothered to read my Bible today. Or saying, "I'm angry. I'm disappointed at you, God." You know, he knows what we're feeling anyway, but we need to be honest with him to allow him to do something about it. So let's just take a moment now. Let's just take a moment to consider, is there something that I need to be honest with God about today? Is there something that I just need to acknowledge? I need to bring to mind and say, actually, this isn't right, God. And just take a moment. Take a moment to tell him now. Being authentic is also about being honest with one another. You know, there's something in us that makes us want to hide our true selves. You know, we see it in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, they felt vulnerable, so they hid from God. You know, it feels vulnerable to expose your true self to God, or perhaps even more so to friends or family, even our partners. It taps into a fear. You know, are we going to be accepted or are we going to be rejected? Are we going to be understood? But we long to be fully known. It's inbuilt in how God has made us. And we can only be fully known if we're willing to be honest with others. You know, we want to be a church where we can be real in our struggles, where we can acknowledge our doubts, where we can confess our sins, where we can talk about when there's conflict. You know, I'm not suggesting that we should take it in turns each Sunday morning to confess our sins or our deepest, darkest secrets. You know, I'm not saying that. There's an appropriateness that we need. But that's why, as a church, we have midweek small groups so we can build those honest relationships we want with one another. You know, we want our small groups to be safe places where we can be known and we can know others. At Highgrove, we want everyone to have accountable relationships where we can be really honest with another person. So we've got being honest. The second thing, with non-religious Christianity, that's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But Jesus says in that Matthew passage, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Jesus was clearly recognizing a lot of religiosity going on around him. Religious people, religious leaders particularly, praying and giving and fasting in order to be noticed, to be respected, to be looked up to. They were putting on a show for others. But this value of being authentic means we choose not to be religious, but to value our relationship with Jesus above everything else. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, this famous chapter, basically saying, if I do all these impressive, sacrificial, spiritual things, but my motive isn't love for God and isn't love for one another, then it means nothing to God. God is looking for our hearts. He's looking for our true selves. You know, and in a similar way, we don't want to demand that sort of spiritual impressiveness from others, from anyone. We don't want to put each other on pedestals, including our leaders. You know, we're all flawed humans. We're going to let each other down because none of us are perfect. We want to acknowledge our limitations and our weaknesses as a church community as well as our strengths. At times, it might feel messy. It might even be painful, but it's real. It's honest. It's authentic. Finally, I don't know where that one went. Finally, we're able to live with tension. If our faith is to be authentic, we need to acknowledge that in following Jesus, there may be pain as well as blessings. That there might be doubt as well as faith. That there might be conflict as well as unity. You know, as a Woodlands Church family, we have this distinctive value of wanting to hold things in tension. over both and spirituality. Not claiming to have all the answers, but holding things in tension. Yeah, just think for a moment. Do you find it more comfortable to solve a problem or to hold a tension? I find absolutes much easier to hold than tensions. It's so much easier to be black and white about things. It's more simple that way, isn't it? I like things to be neat and tidy. But as I get older, as I mature, the more I realise how grey things are. Not just my hair, but things in the world. The more my relationship with Jesus deepens, the more I recognise the mysteries of faith. The more I realise that what I don't know and I can't know. But I can still choose to say to Jesus, I love you, I'm going to trust you, even in my doubts, and I'm going to keep following you. You know, many of our beliefs in the Christian faith have to be held in tension. Things like the Bible being both a human document and spiritually inspired revelation. There's a tension there. Jesus being fully God, yet fully man. God is holy, yet extends his grace to us and invites us into intimate friendship with him. God is sovereign, yet gives us free will. There's tensions there inherent in our faith. We need to learn how to hold these tensions. And when we do, it helps us to support one another. When we're suffering, we recognise the now and not yet, another tension of God's kingdom, of God. When people are sick or dying, we care for them. We pray for God to be with them. Yet we still hold on to the belief that God can heal. You know, if we can't hold the tensions of faith, then we can end up being disappointed, disillusioned by God. So at Highgrove, we want to learn how to hold the tension, this both and spirituality. We want to be honest with God and with one another. We want to have authentic relationships. In all of this, we need God's Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives. We can't do this alone. We need his help. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, just during our communion time now, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us to be more authentic. So in our time of communion, we want to recognize this mystery of the God of the universe becoming flesh and living among us. Of the Lord of creation dying and then being raised to life again. Of him being sovereign over the world, yet giving us free will. We know that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But we're going to use our free will to declare it this morning. So just for a moment, as we take time to share communion together, let's just spend a moment examining our hearts. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, will you bring to mind any areas that we've not been honest? Not been honest with ourselves, not with honest with you, not with honest with others. And we say, we're sorry. We're sorry, Lord. And we choose to receive your forgiveness now. Thank you for your forgiveness. Receive it now.